Reg Murai was our special speaker. How many of you were here last Sunday? And I think most, if you were here, he's got such a tender heart. And I tried to talk him out of praying for everybody. I really did. I said, you don't need to stay that long. Everybody in the room doesn't need a prophetic word. And he goes, oh, no, I don't want to turn anyone away. And so I just said, okay, we'll just dismiss at 12:30. And anybody that wants to stay can. And everybody stayed. And a lot of people are not here today. I told Alan, I think maybe Monday, or I just had this feeling. I said, you know, I want to talk about what happened. I want to give people an opportunity, you know, if they have a question. Because we walk into a service and this man starts telling you your business and telling you everything about yourself and some things you don't want to hear and some things you love and some things you're confused about. I don't want you to walk around confused. See, God gives us the gifts to be a good thing. How many of you ever received a gift you didn't like for Christmas, maybe? You know, Cammie's not here today. She's in Miami. We used to tease her. Just make sure we could return it, okay? Because she would give Alan and John. Didn't she give y'all a scarf that was just half made? Did y'all ever get that scarf? Okay, she was gonna. That was her knitting or her crocheting year. Cammie's gonna hear this. Cammie, we love you. Cammie's on our preaching team. If you don't know that, and if you're visiting, she's been here since 1990. What, five, six? But she would give us gifts that sometimes we felt like we couldn't use. But then there were some gifts she gave me that I thought I couldn't use, and later they came in really handy. And then there are some gifts that we just love, and we know we like them, and then we never use them. And so gifts come in all shapes and sizes, and so it is with the prophetic and the things of the Spirit. I just took out half my notes and put them up there. I asked Alan to help me today, and so we're going to sort of tag team a little bit. But, you know, giving gifts is very much in God's nature. So, you know, we talk about the love languages and somebody goes, oh, I don't believe in those. And somebody goes, oh, I do. Gift giving is my thing. I'll just take all I can get. But, you know, giving is God's nature. He gave his only son. He gave his only begotten son so that we would not perish but have everlasting life, so that he would take upon himself the punishment for our sin. He redeemed us. He paid for our sin so that we don't have to. Then Jesus, before he left, he said, wait, to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay there because there's a gift that's going to come to you. The gift of the Holy Spirit came because they needed the power to do the things that Jesus says. Jesus said, greater works will you do. Well, you need power to do them. And when you don't hear about the gifts of the Spirit being taught, you rarely see the power of God in operation. Now, you might learn about God and you might love God and you might be devout and you might pray, but you rarely see the power of God. Because the power of God, once it comes, it gives you an ability to do. And so there's gifts that you do. There's gifts that you say. I had some handouts. I'm going to save them for another time. The power to say, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, the power to do, gift of healing, gifts of healing. It's plural, by the way. Working of miracles, gift of faith, power to know, the discerning of spirits, where you can tell whether a person or a situation is motivated by the Holy Spirit or maybe from their own thoughts and feelings or maybe even from the demonic realm. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These are all things that God gives to us. The Bible says severally as he will, individually as he will. And then once he gives them to us, they're for us to deliver. We're just like the delivery man. Just because somebody gives you a gift, it doesn't mean they know everything. It doesn't mean necessarily everything they do is approved by God. There's a scripture that says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means even sometimes when people veer off and aren't doing well, if they've operated in a gift, they still can. That's not my favorite scripture because, you know, sometimes that confuses people. And they go, well, wait, they're in sin. How can they still, you know, God doesn't take it back. But it doesn't mean that you're walking in the way he would have you walk. And so none of this is in my notes. Before Jesus left this earth, after 33 years, during which he demonstrated the heart of God. And in demonstrating the heart of God, he did things. He healed people. He raised the dead. He multiplied food. He told people the deep things in their heart. And see, when we watch Jesus's life, it's not that God gave him gifts. He really represented all the power of God. And so when we look at him, we can sort of go, oh, I can do that, but I call it a word of knowledge. But Jesus knew that the woman had five husbands at the well. And so she goes, oh, I spoke to a man who told me everything I'd ever done. And see, Jesus had the ability to multiply the food. And so it's like, but we could have a portion of his power, and we call them these gifts. You know, he told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He had a word of knowledge of what was to come. And to Nathaniel. He said, I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip even called you. I saw you. I knew you were a man in whom there was no guile. So see, that's sort of what Reg did to some of you, right? Maybe to some of you that was new, some of that you that wasn't new at all. But here's what I feel like I want to do. I felt today during worship that what I want, I think God is calling us to a higher level. And he's wanting us to be able to navigate the things of God with more strength than we did before. And as I sat there, I felt like, you know what? I've had to war with my prophetic words. My prophetic words didn't just come and then that was nice. That was a great thrill for that day. And then I go home. I have had to use them. It's like some gifts, you get them and you use them. You put them into use. Somebody gives you a bicycle, you got to assemble it. And then you got to learn how to use it. And then it'll get you somewhere. And so some of these words that we are getting, I don't want you, the Bible says, despise not prophesying. None of this is in the notes. I'm just moving away totally from where I told you, but you know that. Despise not prophesying. Well, how do you despise it? You can despise it by like, ooh, is that even from God? I don't know if that's right. I don't know about those gifts. They seem scary to me. Does God still do that today? But another way to despise it is that you take it so lightly that the man of God tells you something and you walk away and you hardly think of it. I've told some people, what was that word you got? I don't know. I don't remember. Let me be clear. This folder is thick. It's full of transcribed words that Easy and I have gotten since 1981. When we got words, we would get somebody to transcribe them. We'd type them out. Uh-huh, Riley, her eyes are wide. The first one was 1981. I prize that word. 1981, we had been married 3 years. That's the only prophetic word we had. It was from a man named Dick Mills. There were a few people that prophesied like, oh, he was a prophet. But see, there wasn't a lot of teaching on it. And as teaching has come, more and more people have begun to prophesy. Now, there are levels of prophetic giftings. And I don't want you to be confused about that. Alan spoke to you young people at the young adult Bible study, and he goes, you know, I'm not a prophet. Well, I beg to disagree with that. He's a pastoral prophet, or he's a prophetic pastor. And I've seen Alan prophesy to every single person in the room. Every single thing that Alan has ever prophesied to me has come to pass. Even things that I thought were sort of far out. I don't know how that can happen. And it has happened. Now, he operates as a pastor and as a worship leader and other things, but he's very prophetic. Then you have people like Dale Gentry that for a lifetime, see, Alan's a younger prophet. Dale Gentry's older. Dale Gentry's older than I am, so that's really old. And what is Dale Gentry, like 78, 80, you know, something like that, 81? And Dale Gentry is a man that you see we wrote about in Easy's book where he's written, he prophesied things to us, and most of them have come to pass, where a few of them we're in the middle of. He said years ago, if you ever gotten a prophecy you don't like, Easy was in his late 70s. We were at a meeting with Dale Gentry, and he said, you know, another wave of young people is going to come, and some of them won't even have read a verse in the Bible. They won't know anything about the Bible. They'll have never opened it, but they're going to come in and have passion for God. Don't preach away the passion. Don't teach away the passion. Let them be passionate and raise them up, and they're going to do mighty exploits for the Lord. Easy goes, oh, no, I am too old for that again. Like, really? But see, we didn't know we'd have helpers because we had already done that a couple of times. And he thought, can't I just get a break here? Can't I just, you know, retire? And see, I got a word, you can't retire, you can't retire, you can't retire. And I've been telling God, God, I'm sort of overloaded. I sort of need to half retire. And God said, no. So what am I going to do? Go, oh, I didn't like my word. I'm going to go, okay, God, you said I can't retire. So that means you have solutions for the things that are going on in my life to give me the time I need so that I don't retire because you want my time invested here, but you're going to take care of me so that I'm not overworked in these other areas. See, we've got to learn how to think about the words we're given. And so I've got this whole thing of words, and I want you to be able to navigate your prophetic words. We had gotten a word in 1988 from Dale Gentry that we were going to go into full-time ministry. Well, in 88, I got really sick with all these neurological things. And I kept thinking, all the things that were in that word, I can't do if I stay like this. So I would use that word to war for my healing, because I knew if God was right and the thing he said, I couldn't do it in the condition I was in. And so therefore I would go back to that word and draw from that. I would draw from heaven for the strength I needed to get my healing, even though it wasn't manifest yet. You know, Ingrid fell on a rock a few weeks ago when she was coming. She was in high heels walking just fine, you know, a few weeks ago. But she had all her little brood of kiddos with her. How old is the baby, Ingrid? 3 weeks. We've got people in the room from 3 weeks old to 91 years old. We got a lot of generations in here. And God said we'd have a multi-generational church. And so we've got them all the way up. So she was bringing in all her other little grandkids. This is her newest one. And there was a rock because she's worried about all the kids. And she falls on the rock and it messes up her ankles. But you know what her word was? He didn't even talk about healing. He said, I see you going on two trips. I see they're going to be from this church. One's going to be about 5 days. Another one will be about 5 days. Okay, he's given her something. She can't go on those trips like this. And so she's going to be going on a trip. So he gave her a hope. He gave her something to hold on to. You're going to be well because the trip is that's coming, you got to be able to walk. And so, see, sometimes he'll just give you a thing to war with and hold on to. So I'm going to read a couple of these words. I'm going to let you ask questions. Al and I will endeavor to answer them. But God wants you to know how to receive a prophetic word. And really, that's part of it. We were going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit and do sort of like a little basic teaching, but we're going to leave those alone. I have this little folded up thing in my thick file here. Now, I have a whole bunch more that are on like links that are not transcribed because then I can play them, because you have to understand these were given in the days when you had to get the tape. And then somebody would have to listen to the tape. And Janine is a fast typist and a transcriber. So I'd get her to then type from the tape. It was crazy. If you could get a link like we send you nowadays, if you can record it on your iPhone, you need to get that thing down in your spirit. But in 2001, April 28th, 2001, Dale Gentry came to our church. And Alan was on our worship team. And he said, Alan, I can see you pastoring a church. I can see you pastoring a church. Heart of a shepherd, yeah, you are. Hey, hey, hey. Then he started praying in tongues. He goes, I'm going to lay hands on you right now. Now, I'm not ordaining you. I'm not sending you, but I'm commissioning you. You shall be a pastor. Now, he told us, because I'm not calling him to be a pastor because I can't call anybody. I'm just prophesying and I'm speaking a word of release. But one day you're going to lead a church, a great church. You're a mighty man of God. You have a heart for the world. You're going to turn out many missionaries. Hallelujah. You're going to build solid foundations under people. You'll be a no-nonsense pastor and you won't take any nonsense. And I was sitting there and I thought, I wonder what church that boy's going to pastor. Okay. What did you think about that word?
What year was that again?
01.
01. Oh, okay. I thought, that's interesting. I never saw myself pastoring. I love the Lord. I love his word. But to me, at that point, I just saw myself, you know, serving in the background. Like, just, I would love to be in the back seat at the back row, never having a microphone in my hand. That was what I wanted, but God had other plans. And so then I just thought, I have no idea what this means. I mean, my spirit bore witness with the word. So I knew there was truth there, but I couldn't see myself doing it because I knew who I was. I knew what my past had been, and I thought there is no way God would use someone like me. But he did, and yeah.
And so the word, he felt the power of God on Dale Gentry as Dale was giving him the word. He felt something bubble up in his spirit, but it didn't seem likely. It didn't seem like him. It wasn't a desire of his. See, God will give you something for the future. Dale Gentry says you can have a now word. You can have a future word. There are words that Dale gave us that happened overnight. For 9 months, Easy had been trying to get Mercer Stadium back in the 90s so that we could do a huge outreach for young people there. Couldn't get people to call us back. Nobody would talk to us. Nobody had ever done an outreach in Mercer Stadium. It's a big football field here. And it's, where they do the football games at the high school. And it could hold about 10,000 people, and depending on how you configure it. And nobody would call us. But our team and Easy all felt we were supposed to do an outreach in Mercer Stadium. We went to a meeting in West Columbia where Dale Gentry was speaking and prophesying, and in the middle of his sermon, he pointed us out, and he goes, stadium events, you're going to be doing stadium events. I see a stadium. The next morning, they called us and said, you can have the stadium. There are other words he gave us that took years. He prophesied years ago that this group of young people would come in never having read a word in the Bible. And so some instantly happen. Some you have to hold on to, and you have to make choices in the meantime to get you there. See, you go, oh, well, if God says it, and then it doesn't happen, was God a liar? Was that guy wrong? Now, let me be clear. Not every prophetic word is perfectly on point. We see through a glass darkly. We prophesy in part. And also, when people give prophetic words, I think Alan alluded to it when he spoke somewhere recently. You know, when Easy and I married, we would go to many meetings and Easy would minister in the word of wisdom and word of knowledge and gifts of healing. And there were times when he would say, we would be on the way, he goes, there's going to be a lady in a red dress there. She'll be on the third row and she's going to need healing from certain ailment. And we'd get there and he goes, there she is. He would see her in a picture before we left, okay? Then there would be other people that would come up and he would go, are you from Oklahoma? And the guy would go, no. Now, see, it would be easy for Easy to go, oh, I guess I'm wrong. And he goes, well, I see a field. See, and so a field, a farm field to him meant Oklahoma because that's where he was from. And the guy would go, no, but I'm from out in the country. So sometimes you have to ask a few questions to place what you're getting. But then Easy would, oh, okay, well, I saw a field. He goes, I see you driving in a truck down that field, and you had an accident about 3 weeks ago, and you busted your knee up. He goes, I sure did. The doctor said I'm going to have an operation. Easy prayed for him. The knee got healed. He was fine. He never needed the operation. So see, word of wisdom, prophet, sometimes instantly, but some things, it's going to be a while before it happens, and you have to know what to do with it in the meantime. And so do you despise it because it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen, or do you hold on to it? We waited and waited and waited, and we kept saying, well, God said this new wave of young people is coming, but they're not here. God said it year after year. So there's times of discouragement. You hold on to your word, and that is a way to get you through the time. And so basically, you're warring with your prophetic word. You're warring with your prophetic word.
I just want to quickly add this. It's like, to me, our spirit receives the word way quicker than our mind does. And what our job is to is when we receive the word, it then takes the process of allowing God to transform our minds. We begin to think what he thinks, say what he says. That's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's like my spirit receives the word instantly, but my mind is where it either connects or it doesn't connect. I can receive a word in my spirit, but then if I reject the word, it's because I reject it in my mind. But if I allow God to just speak and just I begin to just think about this word, okay, Lord, you said this. I could never see myself. I told the class when I first came here, like I said many times, I don't like the microphone. I don't like being in front of people. In college, I was terrified to have to do a school presentation or a speech in front of the classroom. I would rather crawl in a hole and never be seen or heard from. That's my natural response. But so when I was here, I think I had attended the church 4 days, and the then worship leader looks at me, and he says, you sing? I say, yeah. He goes, come join us. Like, that doesn't happen. So I was like, so I'm up on the stage. And so my point is, God was saying things to me. The worship leader then, he actually prophesied over me. He goes, I see you one day leading just like I lead and doing some of the same things. That was before I had led a single song. I had actually, okay, to be honest, I think when I was on the worship team, I was singing background vocals. I never led. I didn't sing out, and if I'm honest, I think I remember this correctly. The microphone wasn't even turned up for like a year or two because that's how I just wasn't that great. So it's like there are things that God spoke before the time, and I had to either decide if I believed that his words were true or that did I believe that what I knew was truer. There's a point where God has to really confront you with what you think and what you believe. And if I were to always say, no, I'm just the guy in the background. I'm just the guy that's supposed to be in the back and be quiet. I'm never to get a microphone. Now, does that mean that everything is easy? No, things aren't easy. I still don't like talking on the microphone. I still don't like being in front of people. I still don't enjoy it. But I just know that what I've decided is I trust every word that proceeds from his mouth. And I take those in and I say, okay, God, I know that's not my natural tendency, but not my will be done, but your will. So then we have to start the process of even if I don't see it, I believe it. Even if I don't understand it, I receive it. Does that mean I receive every word I get? No, some words are garbage. But just like I said, that doesn't make someone a false prophet if they get it wrong. Like Pastor Lena was saying, we know in part, we prophesy in part. People are just doing their greatest, their best. The Spirit, no matter how we like it or we don't like it, he uses us. We are humans. We have error. We don't always get it right. So the last thing we want to start doing is that guy's a false prophet because he got one tiny word wrong. It's like, guess what? We're mature. We can throw that word away. and just receive what else God has for us. Because if you start to worry that every word is wrong, or that you are going to stop hearing the voice of the Lord, He's going to stop speaking to you because you haven't received the first word. It's hard to get a second word when you haven't received the first word. So there's a lot that prophecy works because it's in cooperation with us. We don't make it happen. If God says, like he spoke to me, and he said, you have a heart of a shepherd. He said, you're going to lead a mission-sending church. When I got the word, did I do that then? No. But did I go to Pastor Alina and say, when am I going to be on staff? No. I just decided, okay, God, I don't feel it, but if you said it, I agree. And so then I allowed God step by step by step to work in me and get things out of me so that I could move towards the word that he had given me. So it's like you have to trust the voice of the Lord when he speaks prophetically, but then also trust the voice of the Lord through your leaders and your pastors. You have to trust that what God has said is true. And then I align my life with what he says. It's about obedience. We walk in obedience with what God has said, not looking to make a word come to pass, but you certainly don't stand in the way of making the word come to pass. Amen?
In the word, the prophetic words that you get, words of knowledge or something that someone knows about you to give you some wisdom on, you know, something that's going on, words of wisdom or give you some direction. But see, Red Sword operated in gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and prophecy. So we didn't go, oh, now word of knowledge is coming, now word of wisdom, now here's healing. He flowed in and out of them, and there was sort of a combination. So it's not about the label, it's just about God getting through what you need from him. And we got a word in 2013 from Ed Trout. He'll be here in August. He's a major prophet. If somebody is visiting here, and they go, I have a prophetic word, a personal prophetic word for so-and-so. I won't let them give it from the mic because I don't know their track record. I don't know where they're coming from. You can get led astray by a wrong prophetic word. We have people, speakers come that have a track record, a proven track record. We feel it's safe. That doesn't mean they're going to be 100% infallible, but prophecy should be judged. And so it shouldn't be done, you know, like in the back room all by yourself, and then you don't know what that prophecy means, and nobody else heard it, and you're trying to figure out if you should do it. And really, you don't act on prophecy. You just let the Lord really paint a picture for you. Maybe this is not the picture you have of yourself, but he's painting a new picture. And so Ed Trout, we were at a meeting in Baytown, and was it you and me? I think he called you and me up there. Maybe Easy wasn't there that night. And he said, it's frustrating you because you're looking for a building. And that's when we were renting a church from someone else. We'd had our own space. And for a while we didn't. We were renting a space from someone else, another church. We met in the afternoon at 3:30 in the afternoon. And we were looking everywhere. And he said, you've knocked on so many doors already that the whole community knows you. And they're not sure how to take you. But the Lord is opening up a place. And you're not going to be on the first floor. You're up on some floor. You're not on the ground. You're going to have to use an elevator to get to this floor. And it's somewhere you wouldn't have chosen, but you'll just be there for a season, and then there will be another place. And when we heard that, we thought, no way. Nobody in their right mind wants a church where you have to be on a second floor and use an elevator. And so we sort of rebelled against that. We're like, oh, no. And we kept looking at places. And then finally, one day I got so discouraged, I said, let's look at places with elevators. And we looked at a few. We hated them. We thought, that's it. And when we got to this place, it was accidental. It wasn't on purpose. It was in God's timing. And we were like, okay, it was God. That word was God. Ed wasn't wrong. And so there's times that even if you don't like it, once God unfolds it, go ahead and give in and agree with it and let God's will unfold. And even if it seems unlikely to you, it might be exactly what you needed. And he told Easy, he goes, he's giving you strength in your body. You're going to go beyond your natural years. He goes, cancer will not have a hold on you. Does that mean it never came? No, but it didn't have a hold on him. And so, see, you have to hold on to some of these. Now, some of you in this room got words, and for young men especially, and it says, partner, there's an evangelistic thing on you. You're going to fill this church with young people. Partner with Pastor Lena. Partner with Pastor Lena. And you're like, what does that mean? Do I have to, like, what do I do? What do I do with that? Okay, really, listen to how Ridge talks. He'll go, Don't work with me, work with the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything but the Holy. Work with, partner with, that's a phrase he uses. Partner with means just agree with. So if you're going to partner with me, you're going to agree with the vision of the house. The vision of the house is that we're evangelistic. We want to reach people for Jesus. We want to raise them up. We want to train them to do ministry. They can have a face-to-face encounter with God. So that's how you, if you're in Dan and Alicia's Bible study, you're partnering with us. Does it mean that I'll never talk to you? No, I can talk to you. I can do some individual training, but it doesn't mean you have to walk by my side and do everything with me. It means you absorb what's going on in the house. You partner with me by entering into worship. You partner with me by coming to the meetings and absorbing all how God has for you. And so if you got a word last week and you have any question about it, feel free to ask right now. Do we have an extra mic back there? We've got one. You want to come grab it? Does anybody have a question about a word they got? We're serious. We don't want you being confused. We don't want you walking around going, well, I don't know. I don't even know what to do with it. You know, I'm sort of scared. I didn't like what I got. What about that pop? Can I tell about the pop-up store? Nobody in this room, certainly not Reg, maybe a couple people in the room, knew that Dion was going to do a pop-up store last Monday. Okay, Reg prophesied some things to him. Maybe some of them don't even fit. You know, he said, you know, you can't be in the background so much anymore. And maybe you like the background, you know. And he said some other things. And you're like, I don't know. I don't know about that. But Reg is ministering to someone else, and he just turns around, and he goes, you, black T-shirt, pop-up store. I'm like, I've never heard the word pop-up store said in church in my life. And Dion was getting ready to do one the next morning. Well, I think that sort of tells you, even if I wasn't in love with that other word, you know, he was so right about that. I'm just going to go ahead and listen to all of it. You want to say anything about that? I'm going to make you come out of your cell right this minute.
Congratulations. For me, it was pretty interesting. He kind of told me that I had to come out of my shell a little bit more, which I kind of understood that. And then the restaurants was interesting. The fusion cuisine was interesting. But then the part where he was literally prophesying over someone else, and he just like looked at me very quickly and said, you have a pop-up shop. And only me, her, and Paul knew. Nobody else knew. But the person that I'm starting this business with, we were announcing the pop-up shop the next day, and we're going to have it at the beginning of June. So as soon as he seen that, if anybody was paying attention, me and G and everybody, just our eyes was like that. But that just told me, and I texted my friend. He's not a believer, but I told him that God is with us. Yeah. And wow. It just kind of confirmed that I'm on the path that God has for me.
And see, when he says interesting, that means he doesn't really, it's sort of, you know, God told us we were going to be in full-time ministry, and we're like, no, we want to stay in business and just do ministry on the side. No. And so God can tell you things that are interesting. It could be for later. It could be that he saw in part. I was talking to Alan about it. I'm not prophesying this, not trying to put this in your mind, but I said, does he have any interest in that? And Alan goes, I don't think so. But, you know, he and G have talked about like a bakery for her. I go, maybe he saw like a food place. And, who said it to me? Somebody said it to me. You? Alicia said it to me. Alicia. Okay. And like, Gia does all this baking, and, you know, they've talked about a bakery. I go, well, maybe he just got it wrong about the rent, but, you know, it's a bakery. And so you never know. You can be like a little bit, and or years to come, there may be that thing that opens up for you. Okay, anybody else?
I'm just going to add to it, because, you know, the truth is, when he's giving you those words about restaurants and fusion, it doesn't mean you're going to actually be doing it. It could just be you have so much money that you start financing that kind of stuff. That's another way to think of it. Doesn't mean you're actually in there putting the menu together. It's just you get hooked up with someone who's going to open five restaurants, and there's a fusion type, I don't know, element to it. When God speaks a word, we can only sort of comprehend it how we've seen it and how we're going to be like, if I got the word, I'm going to be a pastor. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, so I have an idea of what a pastor is. That's not what I wanted to be. No offense to Pentecostal churches, but that's just not who I saw myself. It's not what I... So we kind of form an image of what we think it's, because it's what we've seen and what we've only known. Like before I got to this church, before I saw I never saw prophecy. I never saw it in action. If I did, I didn't know it. In my church, there was one lady who spoke in tongues, and she interpreted her tongues every time. That's what I knew. I was just like... I didn't know any else. I didn't know anything else. So when you come to, I hear I'm going to pastor a church, I have to get rid of all the ideas that of how God moved in past churches, and what, you know, like there was one person, he was the pastor, he was a set-in person, he only did the teaching or the preaching. And when I came here, I learned that there's a fivefold ministry. I had no idea that there was more, you know, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophet, all those things. So it's like, I think, just to make a long story longer, and to wrap it up, is we get so locked into what we think it's going to be and what the word means. It could mean a million things. Not literally, but it could be a lot.
Yeah, it's like God is painting a new picture, and if we're not careful, we put our preconceived ideas on it, and we try to paint it before we let him unfold it before our eyes. I want to take a few more minutes. Anybody else had a word that they have a question about? I know some of you did. The mic's coming your way, Carla.
Yes, I have a question about the prophecy. Like Alan said, some things... some prophecies are garbage and he just lets them go. How do you know the difference? How do you know when it's true or when it's garbage?
Okay.
Don't put the mic out for me. You know how I am.
Okay. I got misled many years ago by a prophetic word that was really wrong. But it was something that I was frustrated about a situation, and this woman prophesied to me, and she said, you're not going to be doing it this way. And I was like, good, that I liked that. And I changed some things up, and it was wrong. And it took us a couple of years to get it right again. And it's like, I didn't know at that moment it was wrong, okay? But to me, I do a couple things. Number one, what is the track record of this prophetic person? Number two, have I ever received anything that maybe has a confirmation to that? Okay, so either the word is a confirming word or it's going to be confirmed. Because everything God has ever said to us, he said it a couple times. I didn't say the elevator more than once, and we didn't even like it, but it came to pass. And so we didn't know it was true until it happened.
I was going to say, what my thought is, we don't live by prophecy. And I immediately heard the scripture, let a thing be established by two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So I think generally when we get a prophetic word, there will be confirming words around that. And those who are in maybe authority, leadership, where you're submitted at, will see it, identify with it, and say, yes, I believe that's on your life. Now, can God bring a prophetic word to pass that no one else has ever said before? Absolutely. But I believe he will confirm his word. Just, I mean, the scripture still stands. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So I think that God will establish it around you and sort of confirm it. That's what he's done for me. Like, I got a word one time, and then I got it again, and then I got it again through someone else. Have I had words that, yes, I got a word once that I would have to go to Australia before I got married. I've never been to Australia. So what happened? I don't know. Maybe I missed God on that one. Maybe when the person was prophesying, he didn't see the right place. I don't know. But you know what? I'm not gonna be like, oh, God, we really missed it on that one. It's like, I'll just go, you know what? I don't know what happened, but I'm just going to move to the next.
Yeah, we have to live by the word of God and live by obedience to him. And we want to live a fruitful life, so we're not looking for prophecies to live by. But it's just when they happen, we want to know how to navigate them properly. Do not run out and try to make it happen. You don't know the timing on the thing. You don't have to do anything real special to make it happen, but you have to make choices every day along the way that are just productive and right for a Christian life. And if you stay in obedience, the things that God has said about you and the picture that he wants to paint will come to pass because you've positioned yourself just in obedience, and obedience always brings blessing. Ariana?
Last week, I got a word, and then he mentioned something about campuses, which is like, I'm assuming something in the future. Uh-huh. And then he also mentioned something in the past. He's like, there was something happened like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. Or 6 years ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like, don't identify with that, let it go. And so I was wondering, like, if, do you think maybe for future and past, like, does that kind of solidify the word that he knows something about the past? And then
do you know the 5 years ago thing? You don't have
yes,
to say what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that part made sense to you.
Yes. But the first part didn't really make sense to me.
It could be that he was right on that one and not on the other, or yes, it could be that like there's something there that you it does make sense to you so that you don't totally throw out the other one. The other one, don't throw it out. Just wait and see.
Yeah.
Just wait and see. I got a word many years ago that there were hurts deep in my heart that God wanted to heal. And I'm like, no, this makes no sense to me. And then I got it again a year later. Oh. And I'm like, what? This makes no sense to me. I don't identify with this. But I said, Lord, if there's anything in my heart, you show me. Lord, if there's any hurt in my heart that you want to get rid of, you show me. And I started to pray that, and God started showing me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some things we put on a shelf and we just wait and see. Some things we actively pray and see if God will show us more. Yeah. But you certainly don't have to run over to a campus and do anything.
Right, right.
But I'm glad that he let you know what to do with that thing that was in the past.
Yeah.
Okay, we can take one more question before we close up. Anybody? This is your chance to see if we even know the answer. Was it a blessing to have Reg? We'll have him back again sometime later, maybe in about a year. He said some things to me that were just, I mean, very right on. Very right on. Then he said a couple of things to me a time back that I'm like, what? And so I don't know. I'm going to wait and see. And but when we have someone here as a speaker, usually they are pretty well developed in their gifting. And but yes, it still has to resonate with you. They're not perfect. They're not infallible. But the gifts of the Spirit, Gordon, you have something?
There are some descriptors I received that I didn't understand because I'm fairly new to some of the language still. So one was anointing. There's anointing on you.
Okay.
And then one was a Nehemiah spirit.
Nehemiah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the third question would be like how, because we trust leadership here and you're trusting a track record of the prophets that come in, we can trust that. But then also then how would we be able to figure out if someone was a false prophet?
All right, let's take one at a time. Anointed just means God's favor, his spirit is on you. You're set apart. Anointed, if I'm remembering correctly, means set apart. Is that is it consecrated, set apart? All that, right? Okay, it could be. So it just means he's identifying that the Spirit of God is on you and working active in your life. What's the second one?
Nehemiah.
Was Nehemiah the one who built the wall? Okay. So Nehemiah was building the wall that had been destroyed around the city of, someone help me, John? Okay, it doesn't matter. So he was rebuilding the wall. Thank you, Jerusalem. I haven't read that in a while, so. Jerusalem. So he was building the wall, which would, protect the inhabitants of the land. But he was also warring at the same time for those who the enemy was trying to come in and destroy the wall. So it's like you can build and war at the same time. You don't just focus on one thing. Like if something's going on, like you're not just warring, you're also protecting. So to me, it's like a twofold thing. You can protect and build, say, your family, and war at the same time.
And Nehemiah was obedient, and he was willing to do what God asked him to do. And so I see that in you, Gordon. I see a desire to be obedient, to follow all the things that God says to you. I would agree, yes, there's an anointing on you. We've loved your family being in our house. We love your hunger for the word. And so he says, and how do we identify a false prophet?
I just talked about this. And it's not like I'm saying I'm exactly right. It's just what I believe. Because a prophet is a messenger of God. And according to the New Testament, it says people might prophesy it's also in the Old Testament, people might prophesy presumptuously. It doesn't mean they're a false prophet. I believe that who a false prophet is a person that preaches anything other than Christ. The false prophecy is the spirit of the Antichrist. So if they're bringing a false message, the false message is anything other than Jesus crucified. So to me, that's how you can know. Someone can get it wrong. Doesn't make them a false prophet. Just means they missed it. They didn't hear God accurately, clearly. But a true false prophet, according to Scripture, is someone who works with the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist, meaning they'll preach another message. Because that's what was going on when John, I don't always remember everything, Alicia. John was writing to them because there was a lot going on. Like they were establishing some things. Like I think a lot of the early church dealt with, there was a lot of competition going on. There was a lot of people who were creeping in and trying to disrupt what was going on. And there were actually people preaching another gospel. And they were calling that out saying, look, the ones that are preaching another gospel, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's already here. That, I believe, is a false prophet.
Here in a little, some notes that we had, sometimes people try to use their gifting to gain recognition in the body of Christ. We as a church are much more interested in character than in giftedness. Giftedness must flow out of wholeness, maturity, and integrity. Sometimes would-be prophets try to do an end run around the church's safeguards and give you a word privately to establish themselves, and that's not what we're looking for. And so that's why we like it, that it's done in public. We can go, he seemed a little bit off. That didn't seem to apply to you. Just throw that one out. But those three that those people got were really good, really beneficial. So really, instead of a false prophet is not anybody that we're going to even get near us, but we might have a false prophecy every once in a while that's not just 100% right on. Sometimes I've heard people give dates and times and places. That's very tricky. Sometimes God does give them. I've heard people say, you know, you're so-and-so, you live on, Jeremy Hamby was a young man that we ordained. He's pastoring in Dalhart, Texas now. Sean Bolts prophesied to him, say hello to your four girls for me. You know, he has four daughters. He said, you're going to be, you have a degree in finance, degree in this, degree in that. It was exactly right. And he said, and go bless the peoples. And he was getting ready to go pastor the people's church. It was incredible, the details that he had. But it doesn't mean that every single thing Sean Bolt says is always right. So we must judge prophecy. And that's what the Bible says, judge prophecy. We're not necessarily judging the prophets, but we're going to judge the prophecy. All right, we're going to close up. Anybody else before we do? You have anything you want to say to end us up? Father, we just thank you for a greater level of maturity in all of us as a whole. We thank you, Lord, that we will learn how to navigate the things you give. We will learn how to use the gifts you give us properly and make full use of them, God. And if there's a way we need to even war with our prophecy, if that prophecy is going to get us through a hard time to know that another time is coming, God, if the prophecy is to paint a different picture of ourselves and maybe we've been undermining ourselves and thinking of ourselves on a low level and you say, come up, come higher, I have this for you. God, we'll open our minds and our hearts to what you say and we won't keep ourselves at a level that you don't desire for us. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're wanting to encourage us, to exhort us, to bring us up in the nurture and admonition of all that you have for us, God. So we open our hearts, we open our eyes, we say that you're going to show us great and mighty things to come. Lord, you're not going to hold us back. We have a future and a hope, and it's for good and not evil. And I bless every person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, we thank you that every word that is from you will come to pass because we will agree with you, cooperate with you, and obey you in the areas we need to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen.